I didn't teach anything wrong. See, I'm covering myself right there. But I didn't. I just taught up to what I knew about it. And it was a very simplistic version of it. I hope I can make this a very simplistic version of it. And I promise you that I will not make it. This is the introduction. And I promise that if you don't understand this introduction, you will before I'm finished with this series. Now, the shadow ashes of the red heifer. This is number two. I covered number one last Wednesday night. And I didn't want to get too far into it or present a lot about it, because I had promised I would start with it today on Sunday. Now, red heifers are being restored in Israel. They've been trying to grow them everywhere else, but they haven't been restored. The red heifers are being restored. Now, I'll tell you, this is a very interesting set of scriptures on this red heifer, because it is a statute. It's not a sacrifice, but it does picture a sacrifice. And it's an ordinance. Baptism is not a sacrament. Baptism, in our work, is an ordinance. The Lord's Supper, in our work, and in all the churches, has always been, from the very beginning, up until a change occurred during what is known as the evangelical movement. And then the Lord's Supper was changed over to a sacrament. The Catholic Church has always observed it as a sacrament. That means it adds to your salvation. I'm going to be very bold here, knowing I have to answer at the judgment seat of Christ. That is a lie. That is not true. It is not a sacrament. That adds to the salvation you already have. Nothing can add to the sacrifice of Christ. Nothing. Nor is the Lord's Supper a sacrament that adds to your salvation. Nor can you make yourself more righteous than Jesus makes you. These things were forsaken during the great evangelical movement. They were forsaken in the 1700s. And many churches have completely dropped them altogether as ordinances. They don't add to your salvation. They are a picture of it. So I'm going to talk about Jesus' sacrifice during this, but I want you to see that this is something that the Hebrews didn't understand themselves. You say, how do I know that? I've sat in airports for years talking to Hebrew rabbis. I've sat in airports all over Europe. I've sat in the Hebrew airport in Israel. I've talked to Jewish rabbis in synagogues. They didn't understand that. And they still don't understand it. But quite frankly, they understand the basics of it a whole lot better than we do. Problem is, they just don't accept it for what it is. It's a statue. It's not a sacrament. It's not like baptism. It's an ordinance. It's not like, it doesn't add to your salvation. You say, well, you better be scared saying that. God will get you. I'm not in the least scared. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. One of the truest, all the scriptures in the Bible are true. Some of them are misinterpreted. But they're true. And the problem is not with God, it's with man's interpretation. So I'm going to talk about that red heifer for a long time. It'll be valuable. I hope you'll come and listen to the Sunday school lessons in the morning, because Leonard did the best job I ever heard him do on anything this morning. And I agreed with every word he said. That doesn't mean he's right and I'm right, but it means we're in line on it. And it means that we trust in the wisdom of God and we do not stand in our own wisdom. Now the ashes, now number two was issued July 25th, 2015, on our website. If you want to look on it, it's there. Number two was issued July 21st, 2015, and that was number one. If you want to go back and look at that. The ashes of the red heifer are a picture of God's everlasting statute. Kafar, that's the Hebrew word for covering, like the innocent animals that were killed, and their skins, their hide, was used as a cover to cover their sins. That seed was Almighty God. That seed was Jesus Christ. And I've taught, and Leonard's taught that here, and Kenneth's taught it here, and we've given you the absolute proof back in the first chapter of Genesis. And we haven't been fancy with it. We've just presented the, whether it's plural or not. And we've made a case to prove that Isaiah said in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, do you know who he said the child in the manger was? All of you sitting here that have been here, you know. Isaiah said the manger child, and he didn't mind telling you he was a manger child, was Almighty God. He just came out and said it. He said he was the great counselor, the counselor. He said he was Almighty God. He said he was, now listen, the everlasting Father. You say, well, I don't believe that. You keep coming here, and I guarantee you God's Holy Spirit will work on you. And you won't have to believe it because I say it, or Leonard says it, or Kenneth says it. You can believe it because Isaiah said it, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit when he said it. He said he was the everlasting Father. You say, I never heard that before. Two of the disciples followed Jesus. From the time John said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So, John had already baptized all the ones who Jesus called out. All of them. And Jesus knew those two disciples were going to follow him. And he knew exactly why they were going to follow him. He knew they were following him from the instant, even before he went there. He knew they were going to follow him. So he traipsed along beside him. He's back on the other side of the Jordan. He's walking along. He turned around and he said, why followest thou me? Why are you following me? And he knew. And they said, they told him that they had heard what John said, and they wanted to listen to him. He said, come and see. And they came to him. And oh my, what they began to see is the most amazing thing in the Bible. God himself became a man as God. And what he did for us is buried in the ashes of the red heifer. So, the statute of the Kephar seed endures forever in him. And in his glorification, which provideth our eternal covering by his flesh offering. And in his water and blood that was contained inside it. That word statue in Strong's Concordance, that's why we started this school. Means ordinance, custom, manner. What does that mean? Well, let me tell you a little bit about that red heifer. You'll find it in Numbers chapter 19. And you'll find it in verses 1 all the way down through verses 39. And I'd like to tell you what I see sitting there today, and don't be offended by it, because it's the truth. Let me tell you what you see sitting right here. Then let me tell you what I see sitting out there. I see bodies that are made of flesh and blood. I can't see Jesus in there, but he's in there if you believe and trust in him as your Savior. You say, I know, but I have to add baptism to it. I have to do this. And I have. Listen, no matter what you do, he will always lead you back to him by making you realize you didn't save yourself. I did. Now let's just take what else I see out there. I see flesh and blood. It's on you. It's your outer covering. That's flesh and blood. That's hide. That's hide. That's what those innocent animals had in them. Had on them. Hide. But in Genesis 3:15, they didn't burn that hide to a crisp, did they? No. But that was part of them, wasn't it? You may not like this part, but I'll tell you what else I am and you are. Inside you, there's a bunch of dung right now. And eventually that dung is going to come out of you through the natural passages. But it's a part of you. Now let me tell you what the Hebrews did with this, with what you are and what they were and what it was supposed to teach them. It was supposed to teach them that Jesus died and was his offerings. Offering, his stature, everything was covered by his flesh and blood, by his outer covering, and by his dung that was in him. You say, well, Jesus didn't have any dung. He most assuredly did. And I want to tell you what they had to do with that red heifer. She pictured a lot more than just a plain old sacrifice. She pictured a perfect perfect, perfect sacrifice. But even she wasn't perfect, because they could offer her, if she didn't have more than two little tiny white hairs right here, not small, not large, right here. If she had two, they could offer her. But they usually picked out a young one. Don't ask me why. And they usually picked out one, if they could find one, they didn't even have two white hairs. You say, well, would that have made her perfect? No. She wasn't perfect. She was not perfect. Let me tell you how imperfect she was. If a man that offered her just leaned on her, just leaned on her, or any man just leaned on her, she was not fit to be sacrificed. That's how weak she was. She couldn't save herself. She didn't sin. She had innocent blood. But she didn't have perfect blood. Only Jesus had perfect blood. And I'm going to tell you, that perfect blood took care of all your sins. You're not going to hell. You can count on it. You say, well, why are they provided? So you can try, T-R-Y, to follow Jesus, to look at who He was, what He said, what He did, His life, His conduct, and everything else about Him, and you will find He was absolutely, completely, totally sinless. And only He could offer the sacrifice. The red heifer never took away a sin. But who the red heifer pictured, He took away all sin. You say, that can't be. You better start believing it, or you're shortchanging Him. The baptism is an ordinance. It's a statute. The Lord's Supper is an ordinance. It's not a sacrament. It's not a sacrifice to offer for sin. Jesus did it all. You say, I can't believe that. Believe it. Jesus did it all. How do you think I can stand up here and make these bold, daring statements unless I'm absolutely certain that they're true, and unless God's Spirit is leading me to do it, knowing what the consequences will be if I don't have it right? But I do have it right, because God first testified it in my heart, and I studied to show myself approved, and God showed me these things, and God showed Leonard these things, and God showed Kenneth these things. And we don't rest on our own wisdom. We may not agree on everything to a T, but we do agree on Jesus, and He is the whole shooting match. So what I'm going to try to do, the red heifers are being restored right now in Israel. When Jesus returns, this is what's going to happen. Right now, I'm telling you the story, or the Bible is. Tell me the story of seed Jesus right on my heart, every word. Not by my wisdom, not by my understanding, but by God's wisdom, understanding, and discernment. The shadow of the red heifer's ashes extends to the seed's wrath. You're not going to suffer God's wrath if your faith is in the seed, because the seed is Jesus. And your faith needs to be totally in Him. When I came up here, my faith was totally in Him and His sacrifice and His offering, but I didn't realize how far that offering extended. All I have to do to satisfy God now is when I apply baptism as an ordinance. I have obeyed it. It's over. It's finished. It's done. Now I can get on to the next thing, which I'm going through right now and will until the day I die. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age, the world. That's an ordinance. How can I please God? Obey His ordinance. How could I please God after I was saved? He wouldn't leave me alone till I got baptized. I couldn't understand it. He wouldn't leave me alone. And finally, I was scripturally baptized. And when that happened, my whole life changed. Not because I got saved then, but because I obeyed Him. That is an ordinance. That is a statute. You don't have to go through your whole life wondering, will I go to hell? Will I go to hell? What do I have to do? Did I do something wrong? You don't have to do that. I give you my word before God. You don't have to do that. But if you ever want to find peace in this life in God, you need to be scripturally baptized. If you aren't going to do God's will, you're wasting your time here. This is a teaching church. This is a teaching church. And a teaching church loves people. And the people are the ones who are saved. We love them all. But how we love the fellowship we have with those who are obeying God and who have obeyed God in baptism and who are continuing to obey the ordinances as God once delivered them to the saints. Leonard and Kenneth and I learned that. Are we super giants? Are we giants in the scriptures? Are we great men? No. We are unprofitable servants. All three of us. And so is Chuck Trusty. That's what we are. But you say, knowing the red heifer couldn't save us, and we can't save ourselves, we got nobody to trust in except Jesus and the shadow that the red heifer cast. Who is Jesus? Now, notice Numbers 19:10. And he that gathereth the ashes of the red heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. And it shall be unto the children of Israel, unto that stranger that journeyeth among them, for a statue forever. Listen, don't you just try to put church members in the bride of Christ. If that's the only ones you're going to put in the bride of Christ, you better go back and get Abraham. And you better go back and you better get Seth. And you better, because I'm telling you, the line of Seth is where they chose them from. And you better include some of those people, because it's not just going to be church members that are in the bride of Christ. It's going to be those that obeyed Him. And I don't want you to forget something. In that final heavenly kingdom, there is a city. You say, well, good Lord, you think you're going to say that again? And I'm going to keep saying it till I die. There is a city in Revelation that stretches from Los Angeles all the way to Memphis, Tennessee. It's there. It's real. It's genuine. You say, well, I have a hard time picturing it. Well, study it. Come to the school we're having. We want you to come. Come to the Sunday morning services. We're not going to put a lot of pressure on you. Ask Chris. We didn't do that to them. We just kept teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching. And they just kept listening and listening and listening and listening. It wasn't us that persuaded them. It was the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, which is the Spirit of God. That's what taught them. That's what will teach you. Give the Word of God a chance. And man, can He bless you. Can He bless you? Don't just run away from this. Most people do. Lord, I thank You for keeping me from running away from this, because I would never have learned anything if You had not taught me. Nor would Leonard, nor would Kenneth, nor would Michael, nor would Charlie, nor would Chuck Trusty. I always want to throw old Chuck in there, Anna Mae, because I think the world of Chuck Trusty. And Chuck Trusty is practicing what he hears. He's genuine. And the stranger that sojourneth among them for a statue forever. There were proselytes among the Jews, and they worshipped like the Jews worshipped. They weren't allowed to go into certain places. They'll be in there. You say, well, tell us who they are. I'll just let you decide whether Abraham's going to be left out of that city. I was taught that when I was young. That is not true. I was taught that none of the descendants of Seth would be in there, or Adam and Eve. That's not true. Some of them will be. You're not merciful enough. I wasn't merciful enough. I was a legalist. Not anymore. The mercy of God is so unbelievable. But it's true. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us, plural, there is a Godhead. Let us make man in our image. That's a particular kind of image. Us make man in our image. That's plural. After our, that's plural, likeness. What kind of image is that? Earth becoming. What kind of likeness is that? Blood flowing. Jesus was a perfect, blood flowing, earth becoming, seed image of Almighty God, of the everlasting Father. Well, he gave Adam something to do, and Adam blew it, and I would have blown it, and you would have blown it, and God knew Adam would blow it. You say, well, that doesn't seem fair. Oh, no, it's called grace. It isn't fair. It's called grace. It's called mercy. It's called forgiveness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And that's going to happen during the millennial reign. You can count on it. Genesis 3:15-21, 15 and 21. He said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. That's where the power of a serpent is. God defanged him. And thou shalt bruise his heel. That means bruise his heel. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin. There are those coats of skin. But they didn't burn the skin of Christ, did they? At least not physically. They made coats of skin. They made coats of skin to cover them and clothe them. Now, this is the marvelous thing about the red heifer. If you ever grasp it, I don't think you'll lose it. I may be wrong. The red heifer statute was a picture manifesting absolute helplessness of a sinful man or woman to offer a fully complete sacrifice descendant for their own selves. Only the fullness of the office of the Godhead seed in Christ Jesus is acceptable as the way he followed, the truth and the life. He's alive in me. Well, you say, how come you're an unworthy servant? because I've learned I'm an unworthy servant. And I've learned that the red heifer couldn't save herself. I can't save myself. So Jesus did it all by himself. And who taught me all this? The Lord. And what else did he teach me? If I discover I've taught you something wrong, I'll tell you. Don't be afraid to challenge me. I've learned how to be challenged. I've learned how to study. And I've learned how to forgive and forget. Because I've learned about this red heifer. And in learning about it, I have learned about myself and about Jesus and about who he is and what he did. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in him, that is Jesus, dwelleth all, not some, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him. I am absolutely complete in him. I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to have to answer for not being baptized scripturally. I won't have to answer for it. I have been baptized scripturally. It took the Lord all those years to drive me to it, but thank you, Lord, for doing it. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. How on earth can I not quickly get back in fellowship when I realize I have offended him? How long can I stay out? Not nearly as long as I used to. This is an excerpt from a Temple Mount article by Wayne Blank. Bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon whom never came yoke. The English word red is used to translate the Hebrew word pronounced Adom, 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 which means red or ruddy. It's derived from a root word pronounced Adam, Adam, which means to show blood in a manner ranging from bleeding to blushing. The name Adam originated from the same root word. See also Adam and Adama. The English word heifer is used to translate the Hebrew word pronounced para, para, which means a young female cow. They usually offer a young red, a young female cow, but sometimes I understand they did offer an older one. I don't know how to define the word young. The Lord commanded that a red heifer was to be used for a specific ceremonial sacrifice. Here we are in 19:1. This is the ordinance of the red heifer in Revelation 19:1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, now we go drop down to the very next verse. This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord, L-O-R-D, hath commanded, saying, speak ye unto the children of Israel, that they bring you a red heifer without spot, no spot on it, no more than two white heifers, no more than two white hairs allowed on it, and it was preferable to have one that didn't have any white hairs on it. Wherein is no blemish, no blemish whatsoever. I mean solid red. And I don't mean like a fire truck. It was a very deep, it was what I call a respectful red on a beautiful animal. But Jesus wasn't an animal. Wherein is no blemish, and upon thee which never came yoke. Now wait a minute. Jesus had a yoke. He told me to take his yoke upon me, didn't he? And what did he say next? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Man, I never had such an easy yoke. But I had to take that yoke. He took it. And he had no sin that made him worthy of taking it. So he died for me, that I could take that sinless yoke on me as the total propitiation for all my sins. And he is the propitiation for all our sins, that he might be just. Oh, nobody else was ever just except him. Except that he might be just and the justifier of them which believe Jesus. Does that make you want to cry? I'm 82 years old. It wants to make me cry. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, you don't have to cry. I can't help it because I understand this. And I understood some of it even when I understood it in a flawed way. How merciful is that? So all I can do is hope that the same God who led me to trust totally in Him and in nothing else and in no other offering, I just hope that you'll find the same God that I found. Because I think that's just the way He is. And I'm sorry for the years I was legalistic. I didn't know any better. This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came oak. And ye shall give unto her Eleazar, the priest, that he may bring forth without the camp, without side the gates of Jerusalem. Man, that's important. Without side the gates of Jerusalem. And one shall slay her before his face. And Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger and sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation 7 times. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight. And we're going to be talking about how he burns it, where he burns it, and why he burns it there. And her flesh and her blood with her dung shall he burn. And cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. I mean everything, including the dung. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water. And afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean even unto the evening, even though he has just offered the red heifer. And he that burneth her shall wash his clothes in water, and bathe his flesh in water, and shall be unclean unto the evening. Numbers 1 through 8. The ashes of the heifer were then used for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation. It is daily sanctification of the life lived in the flesh. That's my heritage. God purchased it for me. He gave all that He was and all that He had. Burned to a crisp. It's my heritage. I already have it. You say, well, what is the reward? And whatsoever ye do, this is for us. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. How many times have you heard me say, ek pasike is translated soul there. Ek pasike. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, the soul, as unto the soul. Knowing. How did I learn this? Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Did Esau want all of it? I don't know if he wanted any of it. There's lots of things I don't know. But lots of people don't want it now. God's son was burned to a crisp. I mean, a picture of Christ being burned to a crisp. What is that? A complete, utter sacrifice. And do you know what they did with the ashes there inside? They kept them out and they were all mushy, just like the rest of it. But they took the dung out and they made a pot. I don't want to exaggerate the height of it. I think it was about that high. Could have been that high. Could have been that little. But there it was. I know you've seen all those water jugs in the Old Testament. I know you've seen them. They've got a little round thing on the top like that. Little round thing on the top. Then the whole vessel underneath it. They're all one piece. They made that container out of the dung of the red heifer. Jesus gave everything. He gave everything. And then they took the ashes of the red heifer and they put it in the pot, the dung pot that was made to contain it. And they kept it in a safe place in a temple. The ashes of the heifer were then used for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of purification. It is daily purification of the life lived in the flesh. I always wanted before I came up here. Well, I had read about this, but I thought, there were some things about this I didn't understand. I was a legalist. And it's kind of impossible for a legalist to understand this. But God didn't hold me responsible. He just bugged me to death until I saw the need to observe this as an ordinance. And I did. Well, you say you got saved then. No, I didn't. I was already saved. But what a relief. What a relief God got off my back about being baptized. You say, well, then they all lived happily after ever. Forever and ever. No. Then he started bothering me about the Lord's Supper. Was I legalistic about it? How legalistic was I? I didn't believe Abraham or Isaac or Jacob was in it. I had been taught that as a child. And I had also been taught it in California. And I couldn't see my own legalism. And so finally, I just gave in to the Lord. And I tell you, when I discovered that the high priest distributed out of that ashes of purification. Sometimes they lasted 12 years, sometimes 11, sometimes just 9. But they lasted. I understand they still had 9 years left when the temple was vacated, when the Jews were driven out at the time that the church and the Jews were driven out of Israel. That's what I understand. That's what not I need, but every Jewish rabbi I talked to was certain of it. Doesn't make it true, But I'm telling you, I believe that for whatever it's worth. Well, where am I now? Did you know that in every region, every little place they had where they had some sort of a priest that was recognized by the Jews in Jerusalem as being legitimate? And it was usually in a place like the tribes. And they would give this particular priest from Jerusalem. And this is the way it was. He put two fingers together. It might have been three, but I think it was two fingers together. It didn't matter. Well, the principle is here, whether it's two or three. And they would take these, and they would be allowed to dip down in the ashes of the red heifer, and they would have a container, and they would put it in that container. After the container was sanctified and everything else, and the high priest would deliver it to each individual priest in each one of these districts. I didn't know that when I came up here. And so, once I learned that, I said, wait a minute. Abraham is going to be in that temple. It's going to be in that holy city. So is Seth. And there's a line, different people all through that 11th chapter. You got a lot of people in there going to be inside there. I'm certain of it. And so I'm not legalistic on that point anymore, but I do tell you, you better be in a church that's teaching the whole truth, because God's going to hold you accountable if it was on your doorstep and you didn't make yourself a part of it by letting God's Spirit add you to it. And if He starts bothering you about adding you to it, then listen to what He has to say. The asher of the red heifers were then used for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation. It is daily purification of the life lived in the flesh. 1 John 5, 4 and 3. For whatever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Whose faith is it in us that overcame the world? Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. He's in me. He's perfect. I'm not. But His blood is perfect. His water is perfect. Everything about Him is perfect. The whole sacrifice is perfect. And because of that, I am accepted in God. Yes, perfect. Because He is my only sacrifice for sin. He is my only God. He is my only Savior. And He is real and He is genuine. And He is not counterfeit. This is he that overcometh. Who is he that overcometh the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Christ Jesus. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. They are one God. One God that fulfills three offices. He is God. He is not only God, He's so complete, He's just amazing, absolutely amazing. He's the only God there is like Him. He is God, one God. And He has fulfilled three offices. He said, and there are three that bear water in earth: the Spirit, the water, the blood, and they all three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He believeth not hath made him a liar. Now, I urge you, when you get home, Please read this last page. It's simple. It's easy to follow. And read it. If you don't understand it, ask me. I'm not going to keep you overtime any longer than 5 minutes, because I sure do want to see you back. And I was used to be so weak spiritually that I wouldn't come back if I was wounded. That was many years ago. Now I have gotten to the point I enjoy being wounded. It's the only way you ever learn anything. So take this home and read it and think about it. It's true. And if you don't know the difference between a sacrament, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and all that, it tells you what it is on here. And I know the Lord will bless you with it. We don't usually give an invitation here, and I'm not going to give an invitation now. You've heard this. God's Holy Spirit has worked on your soul. Leonard, do you want to help me? You and Kenneth come on back here with me, if you will. Thank you. Jerked out of socket. I didn't know your own strength. Well, I just smelled it when you raised that armpit.